and welcome to episode 51 of Divided by Werewolves. We are in the middle of summer, or at least in the South, 2 weeks until school starts. So, fuck yeah.
Right.
And all my, I remember living up north, and I mean, Jesus, now you still had a whole month and a half left. No, sir. Get those fuckers back.
That's right.
So it's been a while. Since we last did this, we do have some things to talk about. So before we get going, though, if you don't mind, I had texted you and said I had a story about stolen alcohol to tell you when I got back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do that with the full understanding that I know I do not in any way come off looking good in this story. But I'm gonna tell it anyway.
So it's gonna make it even better.
So we were in Florida. We were in a house for a couple weeks. First week we worked. Second week we just kind of hung out by the pool, went to the beach, whatever. This is the first time we'd ever done it for 2 weeks. But we've rented houses in Florida, and it's not Myrtle Beach. It's I can never remember the name. It's in South Carolina, island in South Carolina. And so, like, we've done this once or twice, so we kind of know, like, what to expect, right? So we, in typical Kikowski Chanel fashion, we kind of waited until the last minute to decide we're actually going to do it, and then we were going to bring the dogs. So even though the town we stayed at is this town called Cape Coral, and even though, like, we'd stayed there before and we weren't real thrilled with it, we were like, well – you know, the houses were cheaper. We are staying for 2 weeks. We do have three dogs, one of which is big, so we're kind of limited. So, you know, we picked this house, and we picked it even though we knew the inside didn't look all that great. It was kind of – Cape Coral has all these canals, and so there's a canal on both sides of the yard, and it was actually really cool. We saw dolphins and all sorts of shit. So, anyway. So we get to the house, drive 10 hours through the rain, get to the house on Saturday, and there's, like, dead – they're not cockroaches, they're called palmetto bugs, but they look like cockroaches. It's like dead cockroaches on the floor, and there's no hand soap in the bathrooms. There's no toilet paper in the bathrooms, no like paper towels or anything. So we're like irritated, and there's no like kind of net for the pool, so there's like dead bugs in the pool. So we were just like, what the fuck? You know, like just kind of irritated and you know, so I was like, well, at least, you know, they sprayed for bugs, clearly, but, you know, they should have come in here and, you know, and clean the house and kind of taken care of. They should have seen that there's no, like, hand soap. I mean, when you go to the bathroom, what are you supposed to do? Just, like, whatever. So went to the store, picked up the basics. You know, the next morning, you wake up, you can jump in the pool. Everything seemed a little bit better, right?
Right.
So woman has come check you in. And she goes over the rules of the house, and we told her, like, yeah, there's dead bugs. She's like, yeah, it's Florida. There's going to be dead bugs. And we're like, well, no. I mean, we just kind of thought maybe somebody would like, clean them up. And she's like, yeah, I didn't have a chance to get to the house before you checked in. And I'm like thinking, yeah, well, you're the rental person. It's kind of your job to come check on, but whatever, fine. And then she's like, most people don't want a net for the pool. And I'm like, do people want to swim with bugs? Because the pool person only comes once a week. And so what? So she's had a lot of excuses for like why things were the way they were. And again, we've stayed in houses before and we're paying them a fair amount of money. So
yeah,
so I was like, fine, whatever. Well, then she's like,
this isn't her first time.
Yeah, right. So then she's like, okay, so if you you get an allowance, like an electricity allowance, $30 a week, you go over that, you got to pay for it. And I'm like, okay, this house was built in the fucking 60s.
Oh, shit.
It's July in Florida. Yeah. There is no way $30 is going to, like, power this house.
Right.
And she's like, oh, you know, if you keep the air conditioner at 80. I'm like, 80? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Plus, they had the pool heater going. She didn't know how to use it. I'm like, I am paying to heat a pool beyond a temperature I actually want it to be in.
Oh, so
I was like, what the fuck? So she's like, yeah, you know, and I was just like, she's like, most people pay like $30 a week over. And I was like, fine. At this point, again, we're already there. It was fine. What are you going to do? Right. And then, you know, the grill was just disgusting and it didn't work. And she's like, no, it's supposed to work this way. And I was like, no, it's not. And then it showed her. So finally she's like, all right, we'll replace the grill and I'll get all these other things. And I was like, fine. So then she guys, we said, yeah, there's a lot of lights that are out. She's like, oh yeah, it's the lightning storms we have. I'm like, we have lightning storms at home. There's not bulbs exploding like every, like, bah, 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 bah. Oh shit, thunderstorm. Wear your helmet, you know.
It's like shocker every time.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like, fine. You know, and I'm like, fine. You know what? I'm in Florida. I can work, jump in the pool. Like, I'm not going to let this bother me. It's fine. So, and she's like, yeah, I'll bring all this other stuff by. So I was like, okay. My thing about the electricity is this. If you know it's going to be 50, 60 bucks a week, then just fucking roll, make your rent.
Yeah, make that right.
$50 or $60 exactly. More. Right. And then people will just do what they do and they won't feel like they've been scammed or nickeled and dimed. Right. Like, just roll it in. But whatever. Uh-huh. So normally when you rent a house, like, there's like a closet or a cabinet or something that's locked up that's base, and there's usually like a note or something that says, hey, the homeowners, this is their stuff. Don't mess with it. So, one night, I don't know, we were looking for something. There's something that was supposed to be in the house that there wasn't there. And I was like, all right, well, I go in the garage and I'm kind of looking around and I see this big black tote. And it was covered in a bunch of shit. And I was like, what? Maybe there's something in here. I open up the tote and there's a bunch of weird shit in there, but there's all this booze, including an unopened bottle of Gibson's rare 12-year Canadian whiskey. And I was like,
nice.
And I went, huh. Close the tote up, put everything back on top of it, went inside the house, and I said to Linda, there's a tote in the garage that's filled with booze. She's like, really? And I was like, yes. And she's like, what kind? I told her. And it was like Malibu and Captain Morgan's and the Ruby Red Grapefruit Vodka. Those were all like half drink. Already had been drunk like halfway. But then this unopened bottle of whiskey. So, you know, kind of week goes on. And we had the woman come back out again. And she just didn't like we'd say, hey, we don't have this. And she's like, oh, I'll get that for you. And then she never did. And then she just gets to the point, like, I don't want to spend my vacation like – kind of harassing about stuff, but it was like, you know, like, oh, then there's other things. It was just about the house, right? Like this one fan in the family room never went fast, and you can't put the air conditioning on high. And then when you did turn the fan on, it made this horrible sound because whatever the dimmer it was wired. So you're trying to like relax at night, watch TV, maybe you're trying to, you know, work your way into something better, and then it's like, and I'm like, look, I'm already fighting blankets and dogs. Like, I need all the help I can get. So we not have the, you know, and then other shit, and you know, and she told us this story of how these people came and stayed at the house and they stole all the flatware. And then when she called them and was like, hey, because she said they didn't know. She's like, I didn't know about it. I didn't check the house. And I was like, of course you didn't. She's like, the next people came and they're like, where are all the spoons and forks and knives and whatnot? And she's like, they're in the drawer. And the woman's like, no, they're not. So she called the previous people and they were like, hey, did you take the flatware? Because they had kids and they thought, ah, maybe the kids is a joke. And the people were like, nope, don't know what you're talking about. Maybe the cleaning people took it. And she's like, well, what are you going to do? And in my head, I went, huh.
Right.
So two weeks go on. Normally I buy a souvenir and I couldn't find one. And I was getting irritated because, again, like, you were supposed to have some stuff taken care of and they didn't. And you don't want to keep calling. So I said to Linda, and by the way, this is the fucking pettiest, like, whitest thing, is that I have legitimate avenues where I can air my grievances. But no, I am entitled to be able to break the law. So I said to Linda, I am going to take that bottle of whiskey home. I don't care that it's the homeowners. I'm taking it. I'm going to drink it. And then that is going to be my souvenir. And she was like, yeah, whatever. And I was like, okay, see if I don't. So the week goes on and I kept looking in the tote, just like whatever. I don't know why. I don't know who I thought was going to come and like take it. But I was like, it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. Here's the thing. I don't know anything about this stuff. I don't know anything about it. I've never heard of it. I don't drink Canadian whiskey.
Right.
So this is how stupid and paranoid I am. I like had all this cooked up, this huge conversation about how, no, I didn't take the whiskey, and all the ways, again, this is an extremely white thing, all the ways in which I could respond and not lie, but not tell the truth either. And I got to the part, I was like, I should look up this stuff, find out how expensive it is. I disconnected from the house Wi-Fi because I was like, they might subpoena Comcast. For my internet search, they're going to be like, oh, you're saying you didn't steal the Gibson's Rare 12-year Canadian whiskey? Well, then why were you searching on Gibson's Rare 12-year Canadian whiskey, which sells retail for $25 a bottle? Like, they're going to be like, it's grand theft larceny. God. So the last night, I say to Linda, I'm going to steal the whiskey. And she's like, are you serious? Are you seriously going to steal this stuff? I said, yeah. I said, I don't, you know, because the woman had come to check us out and we owed like $68 for the electricity. And I was like, I'm fucking getting that money back. I'm getting it back in yeah, right. whiskey. I might need 3 bottles, but there's only one. I'm taking it. She's like, are you serious? And I was like, yes. And I said, she's like, wait, you don't think they're going to know about it? I said, no, I don't think they're going to know about it. Somebody stole all the flatware, and not only did she not know about it, they had no way of getting it back. I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, if she says, she emails us and is like, hey, did you take alcohol with you? We can say, because this is the truth, there was no alcohol in the house other than what we bought, because that's not lying. And then if she comes back and says, no, it wasn't in the house, it was a tote in the garage, we can say we had no reason to go in a tote in the garage, which is also true because we didn't have a reason. Not – again, not lies. So I realized she was getting kind of like – and I said, look, if you don't want me to take the whiskey, I'm not going to take the whiskey. And my wife, the strongest person I know, goes, don't you drag me into all this. This is your decision. I was like, I've never loved and disliked you the same amount at the same time. She's just like, fuck you, I ain't giving you cover. And then I have to hear her all for the 10 hours back about how I wouldn't let you steal the whiskey. So I was like, okay. So I was getting ready, trying to figure out, you know. So I brought it into the house, and she just kind of looked at me and looked at it. And then she was like, all right, he's going to do it. That's fine. Let him do it. So I said, you know what? I should read this binder again just to make sure there's no more checkout information. And she's like, okay. And really what I was doing is trying to find the section in the binder that said, don't go in the fucking tote. Because at this point, I'm starting to get like maybe I shouldn't do this. Like I feel like the beginning of the week, I was all like fucking GTA 5. Like, I'm going to roll up on these motherfuckers, and I'm going to pop a cap in his ass, and I'm going to take his whiskey, and I'm going to drink it in front of his crying mama. Like... Now I'm like, I don't know. So I'm reading through, and a lot of these people, a lot of the rental agencies, for whatever reason, Cape Coral has a high German population, and so they rent to Germans, and then also the like our rental woman was German, the guy she partnered with was German. For whatever reason, these people come from overseas. So they have in the book, they have a lot of different things about like restaurants. It's like, hey, just, you know, people eat around this time and usually you tip this amount. So things for people who don't live in this country. So they had a section on alcohol. And I was like, well, that's weird. Why would they have a section on alcohol? And it said people have to be 21 years of age to drink alcohol. There is no giving minors alcohol. All alcohol must be stored in the tote.
Oh, my God.
So I said to Lynn, I was like, it's not their alcohol. I'm like, it's not their alcohol. She's like, what? I'm like, it's not their alcohol. Somebody bought a bottle of whiskey, never drank it, and left it. I'm like, who would do that? And she's like, they can't take it on the plane. I was like, it's not their alcohol. Oh my God. And I was so happy and disappointed at the same time because I was like, I'm going to fucking stick it to them by stealing this booze. then she goes, well, what else is in there? And I was like, oh, do a little shopping. So I was like, nothing. Plus, it's been opened. I don't know, like, what – I don't know how long it's been in there and whether people have been – like, how sanitary they were. I'm not taking it. I'm just taking this. So I took it. I'm drinking it right now. And when I'm done with it, I'm going to write Cape Coral on the bottom of the bottle, and it'll go up on the shelf with all of the other souvenirs.
I love it.
But I was like, why does it need to be in the tote? That doesn't make any sense. And actually, even I was like, we are going to on purpose leave these three beers in the fridge. So it's like, why would we steal alcohol? We left a bountiful harvest of whatever fucking Anheuser-Busch's version of Corona. Landshark Ale. Drink it.
Landshark.
That was buy one, get one.
No, I love had Landshark. Well, I like it. Actually, not. Yeah, not bad.
If you drink Corona, I'm pretty sure Landshark's not that far off, which right. I do, and I did. So yeah, so that was my trip. So. So you've been spending time in Hyrule, is that correct? You have to talk about.
Yeah, I have to come clean, and I don't think I ever talked about it on the show too much. Maybe I sort of mentioned it.
You did. You kind of mentioned it like in passing, I think.
Right, like when we did whatever episode where I had gotten my Switch, and I was like, I started Zelda and not grabbing whatever, and but the thing was, I bought it and like six other things, and so, right. and so many other things were started off a little quicker, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I've been sticking with it. I've been picking it up here and there. You know, I finished Mario Odyssey and I finished something else, and I'm like, all right. And I'll keep going back to it. And I might play it for 10 minutes to get killed and get frustrated and turn it off, or I might play it for an hour and make a little progress. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, the game finally like clicked for me.
It took a while for it to click with me as well, to be honest.
You know, I started making progress every time I sat down, and the more I did that, the more I wanted to play it. Yeah, big time. Yeah. And I've been hooked on it for like a week and a half. Mm. And I just can't stop playing it. Like I've stopped playing other things. So I hope that continues, because like I really do want to finish the game. It's just I feel like it shouldn't take almost 10 hours before I feel like I'm starting to actually do something in it.
Well, I think the thing with it is, because you can basically go anywhere at the beginning. Like they're just like, right. You know, at first they're like, hey, you know, go to these shrines, learn these basic powers, and then they're like, you know, go, you know, whatever. If you want to get it's almost, you know, it's that freedom that then it does make it feel like you're not progressing, because you can essentially screw yourself over by continually trying things that you're not ready for.
And that's what I was doing. Like, I remember the one thing, it was the stupidest thing. I found some town, and they were like, oh, I don't know what they're called, the Boglins or whatever the fuck they are.
Yeah.
They're like, Boglins, yep. These guys are on this beach at night, and they're fucking our shit up. Can you take care of them? And I literally had to stand on a hill up above them.
So many times, throwing bombs.
Just throw bombs.
Yep, me too.
That did a very minimal amount of damage before I could kill these three fucking Boglins.
Cool. That it was the same thing with me. Yeah, and it didn't help for me too. When, you know, anytime I find out that something's limited, if they're like, "Oh, your weapons will break," I'm like, "Nope, can't use them yep. ever." And yep, then at the end of the game, I had so many weapons, I didn't know what to do with them. Like, it was ridiculous how many weapons I had of like amazing quality, and I'm just like, you know, you get bored. You're like, "Oh, really? Another, you know, platinum unbreakable sword? All right, put it with the others."
Oh, thank God. I didn't know those were in the game, because I'm so tired of my shit breaking after two hits.
No, you'll get to the point where you're just, especially if you do, because I did all the shrines, all 20 of them, and you'll find so many weapons in there that, you know, and if you spend your, because you can upgrade your capacity as well. So if you find the, I think it's the Deku Nuts that does it. I don't remember. Yeah. You can buy an upgrade for what you can carry.
Yeah, I definitely do that because I'm at capacity constantly now. I have to drop shit to pick up new shit. So
yeah, I got at the end. I was at the point where I was just like, I'm not even picking it up. Like I just have so many awesome things that I was like, I'm not even picking them up. So, but yeah, you'll get there. And that makes a difference too. When you kind of get to that point.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I will tell you is I don't think the DLC was worth it. So if you don't have it,
yeah, already, I probably won't do that.
I don't. Say that again.
It's rare for me these days to play a whole game and be like, shit, I need more. Or I want something else to do in this game because I have such a fucking backlog. I'm like, thank God I can go play something else.
Yeah.
Except for Destiny, which I keep pumping money into.
I think when all was said and done, I think I ended up spending 140 hours on Zelda.
I'm probably closing in on 30 at this point, I think.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. But I've not done 30 hours worth of progress, so probably I'm just scratching the surface, I feel like. But at least, like I said, at least I feel like I'm playing the game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so. That's cool. Yeah, and I so I got back from the trip and tried to, you know, thought I had a lot more to do in Vampyr than I actually did, which is good because 2 weeks away from that game didn't really help it all that much. So, and it's just because, you know, kind of the running around and stuff you have to do when you're in the game, you're kind of used to it. It's one thing. But then, you know, when you kind of get away from it and then but anyway, and so I was like, well, what am I going to do? I bought Red Faction Remastered and was like, well, I could certainly do that. But then I thought, you know, I had bought What Remains of Edith Finch on when I was on vacation because they had that big PlayStation sale. And Jesus, man, that game is so good. Like everything you said about it was absolutely correct. Like I as I'm playing, and it's not a long game, but I mean, it doesn't have to be because I spent the whole time just going, you know, what, not necessarily trying to go like, I want to find out why all these people are like die. I think it was just kind of like, well, they're just kind of bad luck family. Like cursed is the right word, but I guess that's it. So kind of why they were cursed was not really important. It was just more to kind of hear their stories and, you know, and then, I just really, really enjoyed it. I'm glad you had mentioned it. I'm glad it went on. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't want to say I'm glad it went on sale because, you know, I should have bought it beforehand.
I felt the same way. I was like, I hate that I waited for a sale because they deserve every single penny that they should have had coming to them from this game.
Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. But so thank you for recommending that because it was fucking great. and yeah, Red Faction Remastered. It's pretty much what you remembered if you played Red Faction Guerrilla back in the day.
I didn't. I played the first one, like on PS2 or whatever, and that's the only one I ever really played.
Oh, this game is great. I mean, it's so much fun to just go and like wreck shit. Just don't think too much about the story or, you know, it's a typical open world. It's got races and all this other bullshit and dumb collectibles. But, you know, you do as little or as much of that as you want to. It really is just about going in there and just fucking blowing up buildings and hitting guys with a hammer. Play it on easy. Play it on casual. Yeah. It is so much better. But for $30, I was like, God damn. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have it. I think it was a PS Plus game for the PS3 at one point, and so I'm pretty sure it's on my PlayStation 3. I don't know that I ever played it.
Oh, okay.
But I love the first one. I played the shit out of the first one when it came out.
Yeah.
PS2.
You know, and what's weird is that, you know, Red Faction Armageddon, which is what came after, it was so bad. It's like, hey, what everybody loved about Guerrilla, let's not do that. And you're like, okay. Good choice, Cotton.
Yeah, right?
So, you know, at this point, I'm kind of just like, all right, well, there's really nothing coming out, you know, for a while. I would like to get back into Destiny. I keep getting like, patch notes and stuff, and I'm just like, eh, whatever. But,
the thing is, it's hard to care unless you're ridiculously addicted to it like I am, because, you know, Forsaken, everything's going to be like the the green stuff, the green Ingrams you pick up in Forsaken are going to trump everything that my stupid ass is grinding for right now.
Well, that's the thing, right? And on the one hand, I'm like, they and here's what's it. They're like, we're going to, you know, make it so that you can just be up to speed. And on one hand, I'm like, well, I don't want that. Like, I don't want you to just give it to me. But on the other hand, when I'm like, you know, thinking about, well, what's necessary for me to get kind of what I need to, I'm just like, well, I don't want to do that.
And you know, unfortunately, it's such a grind, and I'm still in the middle of it. So I think most of my characters right now are hovering around the 370 mark, and so 380 is the max without whatever they're called, the things that put you up 5 more points, the ornaments or
armor,
the little thing. So I'm getting there.
Well, I would like to get back into playing, you know, with you, because we, you know, it's, and I don't care what it is. I mean, I'd like to, so, you know, even just doing that, like that, you know.
Yeah, same here. You're a monster hunter. I'd love to get back to that too.
Because I have some heroic things in Destiny, heroic missions or whatnot. But yeah, something, you know, I don't care what it is.
Yeah. Same here.
All right. So while I was on vacation, so my kids pissed the hell out of me, pissed me off to no end when I was on vacation, because I'm sure that you are used to this, but all they fucking want to do is sit in their goddamn room and look at their goddamn phone.
Yep.
Even on vacation, they got a pool, they got fucking like literally dolphins frolicking in the canals behind them, and they're just like, no, I'd rather watch this YouTuber. And I was like, so, you know, I kind of take the thing like, this is your vacation too. We're not going to make you do shit. Like, if you will offer, if you want to do it, you come with us. If you don't. But the problem is, too, is then they would just, like, fight. Whenever they got together, they would just fight.
Mm-hmm.
But so, whatever. So, you know, when I was working, you know, I was like, okay, I know these kids. They want to go see fucking Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom. So I don't care about the movie. But, you know what? I'll kick off early, you know, one day from work, and we'll go see it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went, and the movie was over, and I was like, how'd you like it? And they're like, oh, it was great, it was awesome. And I was like, please don't ask me how I feel about this movie. Like, that was just the, like, please don't ask me how I feel about this movie. So they didn't, because I'm their father. They don't care what I think. I'm just the guy who pays for everything.
Right.
And that was good. That was great. You know, the only thing I said was, and we're going to spoil the movie because it's been out long enough, is I said to them, did you know that the little girl was a clone? And they're like, no, I didn't.
Oh, what a twist.
I didn't know that at all. I was like, seriously, you didn't know that at all? They're like, no. My son goes, well, I knew he didn't want anybody to see the picture. I was like, oh, you got that, did you? When he shoved it back in the book, you figured that one out? And I was like, yeah, as soon as he put that picture back in the book, I was like, she's a clone. And they're like, how did you know that? And I was like, because I watch more than YouTube. No.
Right? Like, the movie did everything except for put it across the screen and flashing lights. Like,
right, exactly, right?
Yeah. I knew from your you tweeted that right after you'd seen it, because I had seen it before.
Oh, and,
really? Yeah. And so your tweet, it just cracked me up. I was like, God. You weren't even mean. You were just like, well, that wasn't a good movie. He's like, oh. He hated it. I can just tell.
I did. I absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know, my son said to me, he's like, Abby was asking why you don't like the first Jurassic World. And I went, I don't know. That is how little of an impact that movie made on me. Is that I can't even tell you why I didn't like it. I just know that when I watched it and was done, I was like, that was stupid. And this was this at least was better in that I can point to like a million other reasons why I hated it. But the first one just left no impact. Like, you know, somebody had tweeted, you know, what was the name of Chris Pratt's character in Jurassic World? And I was like, I have no idea. Like Vesky McSnarkalot. Like, I have no fucking clue what his name was. I don't even think he knew what his name was.
No, he doesn't.
In the movie. He's like, it's called My Fifth Yacht. That's my fucking name. Say it loud and proud.
No shit.
Which fucking more power to him. You know, yeah. Like, shit, if I was Chris Pratt and they're like, we want you to do Jurassic Park, and I read the script, it was like, well, I like this movie better when it was Jurassic Park, and then they slid the check in front of me, I'd be like, yep, I'm your guy.
Yep.
Nope. What, I'm a clicker and I train dinosaurs? Yeah, I can do that.
Chris Pratt's like, no, they're not real dinosaurs, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
No, those don't exist. All right, cool, I'm in.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I did not, you know, not a fan of the last one.
Okay.
And then this one, I'm just watching it. I told my wife, I was like, she's like, well, did you like any of it? I was like, yeah, every time the dinosaur ate somebody, I laughed loudly, and I was the only one laughing. And she's like, what do you mean you laughed? I said, like, at the beginning, I just thought, oh my God, this is so stupid. And then a dinosaur came and ate someone, and I had to let it out because it had been so stupid up until that point. So I was like, like, every time somebody was eaten, I laughed loudly because it was the only release I could have in the movie. Like, when they left. When they left the island and the Brachiosaurus is like, hey, I'm on fire, hey. I was doing everything not to laugh hysterically, because I was like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever done. Brachiosaurus is like, hey, I would like to be on your boat. Just, and everybody in the theater, this woman behind me went, oh, and I almost laughed. I almost turned around and laughed at her. Like, that's like where I was.
Yeah.
With the movie. I was like, oh God. And then it got, and I just was like, I said to my wife, I was like, I don't want to be that guy, but I, and this is before I saw the movie, I said, I don't want to be that guy. But I kind of want to go to this movie. So, like, all these reviews I read where they're like, the last third is a gothic horror. I can just
I know.
And I said, but I don't want to be that guy. Spoiler alert, I was that guy.
Yeah.
I said to my wife, I was like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about when they say it's like a gothic horror, other than just like, ooh, it's a spooky shadow.
The bedroom scene. It's the bedroom scene. That's the only part.
I know,
of it.
But still, I was like, you know what the thing about making a horror movie scary? Stakes. Thinking someone could die.
Right.
That dinosaur. Right. They don't have the balls to let that dinosaur fucking turn that girl into a Scooby snack. Nothing bad is going to happen to anybody you cared about.
Well, even if they did, what also works in horror movies that are genuinely, like you said, have stakes is that you give a shit.
Yes.
If the character Carol is about to be eaten by a dinosaur, and you certainly did not in this movie.
Right. Because even like Halloween, you're like, I don't think anybody thought that, like, you know, Michael Myers was going to actually kill his sister. But you're just like, whoa, shit, what is she going to have to go through? You know, all that stuff. And in this movie, you're just like, whatever. You know, and then they kind of talk about, oh, the dinosaur with the big head, like, oh, it's comedic relief, it's so funny, ha ha ha. Like, they're the star of the show. And I'm like, what? Like, what the fuck? Dude, like, I'm just, I get to the point where I'm just like, what movie are you watching? Like, are you, do you just, like, it's summer, so you're just like, fuck it, give the people what they want. Like, I don't give a shit, whatever, you know. And it just, I didn't get it. Like, I genuinely didn't understand, like, some of the people that I read reviews, and they're like, oh, you know, this part's good. You know, like, oh, if only the director had been given better stuff. And I'm like, I don't feel like the director did anything that was, like, memorable enough to where you're like, I would like to see that person have. Because that happens, right? Like, you've seen movies where you're like, you know, a lot of it wasn't great, but the visual style or the way they framed things or whatever
was
really good. I'd like to see them kind of get something where the material had a little more meat to it. But that wasn't this movie, so I don't know why – I don't know where that stuff kind of comes from.
So, like I said, you hated it more than I did. I didn't – like, I put it probably – I need to watch 3 again, because as it stands, I think I probably put that slightly above 3. Because I remember hating 3, but I haven't seen it.
Every Jurassic Park movie except the first one, in my opinion, sucks.
Okay. So I don't hate The Lost World, and I actually didn't hate Jurassic World. I felt like it was completely unnecessary. But at the same time, I'm a person who enjoys watching a dinosaur eat a person on occasion.
Well, sure.
And so, you know, Jurassic World, for what it was completely unnecessary and a total rehash of Spielberg's amazing original movie. This one, though, was – so several things were obvious because basically it's like
somebody took the Lost World script and just changed a few things.
Yeah.
And it was so obviously like they had no idea what they were doing. They had no idea why this movie even existed.
Because when they decided to do new ones, they said, well, we're going to make three of them, which everything has to be
a trilogy. Yep.
Right.
This was the most blatantly obvious cash grab only thing that I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, you are very absolutely right. Yep.
Because Chris Pratt was disinterested. Oh, it was
give a shit.
Good Lord. So the plot was stupid. The action sequences were stupid. Like Chris Pratt's outrunning dinosaurs on foot. Okay, he's doing that. And then what's her name?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard. Her character, I'm like, is this her like good twin sister from the girl from the first one who was like,
that's the only thing I thought was better. I was like, God, because I thought I said to my sister to Linda, and I was like, I don't think she can act. Like
right.
Like
right.
But at least like the first one I felt like, you know, there was something to her, and this is just, you know, nothing. Just like, oh, let's all save the dinosaurs.
Right, which is a complete and total 180 from the character she was in the first one. So the first one, she was all business. They're attractions. Which she doesn't give a shit. Right. And in this one, suddenly she's a dinosaur activist and she's going to save the dinosaurs. And I'm like, what the fuck? What? Yeah. This is not the same woman from the first one.
Right. And no reason. And you know what else pissed me off? Did you notice how many shots of her feet they did?
Yeah.
As if to say, look, she's wearing boots.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Look. Remember when you guys hated the high heels? Well, look. Yeah. Look.
I'm like, there's a fine line between like framing the shot when she's walking down the ladder, look, she's got boots, and turning it into like a fucking foot fetish. Like, I started to get uncomfortable. I'm like, I've never stared at a woman's feet so much in a 2-hour span in my life.
I actually did, but I was just like, man, they are really, really driving home that whole thing about, look, she's not running in heels this time because everybody got so bad out of shape at the last one.
Which, I mean, rightfully so. You're just like, what the fuck? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So, so I, you know, did not care for it at all.
But, you know, like I said, it's either my least favorite or my next to least favorite of the entire franchise. But that said, you know, dinosaurs were cool.
Yeah, but here's and this is where the dork in me comes out. As I started my wife about it, and I said, because we were reading this article about these like snake hunters in Florida, because there's like all these Burmese pythons that like ended up getting released into the Everglades, and they've like just completely decimated food sources in the Everglades, like. You know, and it's because there's nothing to eat them. And I said to Linda, I was like, you know, they make a big deal. Where she's just like, I don't know if I should save the dinosaurs or not. I'm like, you cannot, regardless of what fucking freakish genetic experiments you did as in the quest for the almighty dollar. Like, these things are the apex of apex predators. They have nothing that can eat them. They will absolutely destroy whatever ecosystem you let them out into. This is not a question of, well, they have a right to be alive. That does not matter at all. You have to look at this like they are going to completely fuck up the biosphere in a way that you will never recover from, because they can't – nothing will be able to eat them. What are you going to do? You're going to go on T-Rex hunting parties? Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, that is just grossly irresponsible as a scientist to allow something like that to happen.
Right.
She's just like, okay, I get it. Relax, man. She's like, you're not testifying in front of Congress, man. Just relax. But so.
Suddenly you're Jeff Goldblum.
Nobody made a fucking 20 foot statue of me in London.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's for darn tootin'.
Yeah, that's something.
I'd like to know how much he got paid, because he basically showed up and was like, it's bad. You know, like, which good for him. I mean, I would love to get anybody pay me to. I'm amazed they pay me to show up for the job I'm actually paid to do.
Jesus.
You know, but if somebody's like, we want to give you like all of these zeros, and you're gonna do a day's worth of work, and not a hard day.
No, no.
Most of support, it's waiting.
You're good.
And if you can kind of ham it up a little, like pretend you're doing a caricature of you.
Just show up the Jeff thing. You were saying the Jeff thing. Just do
that. You know what we're talking about? Yeah. Could you open your shirt a little bit more? Little more. Little more. There it is.
There it is. There's the sweet spot.
Good for him. I remember when he was in The Fly. That was one of my favorite of all time. And yes, I just remember... My favorite part of that movie is when he looks at the guy right in the eye before he vomits on him and burns his hand off or foot or whatever the fuck it was.
Both. Burst his hand and he went for the ankle. Like
but he looked at him first. First he looked at him and was like, oh, what am I going to do here?
Yeah, he got the hand first and that was when he looked directly at him.
Yeah, I loved that. I love that movie. I will always love that movie. Okay, so after that, so a week later, and again, another effort to separate my children from their phones, but also because, you know, I wanted to go see it, we took them to see Ant-Man and the Wasp. And as a movie-going experience, it was much, much better. Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom, which granted, given what I just said, is not saying much, but I genuinely enjoyed that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things where I felt it was a kind of a little, like just a little slow to get going. I was kind of like, I'm not really sure where this is going. And I kept going, you know, every time they like would shrink the building and make it bigger.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it doesn't have plumbing hookups. Like, this is where I am in my life. I'm just like, all right, you can't just make a building big. It's got to hook up to the grid. And I was like, well, I'm sure they figured that out. But, you know, for a movie that took place, you know, or not took place, but was released directly after the major bummer that was, you know, Infinity War, I felt like it did a really good job of making you care about a much, much, much smaller set of stakes.
Yeah. You know, it was lighthearted. It was like, you know, it was a sequel to Ant-Man, which is all I wanted to be. I didn't necessarily need a continuation of Infinity War, which I absolutely never would have expected it to be. And that is sort of a small criticism that I have read on several places that it didn't.
Yeah, but they said it wasn't going to be.
In years and then, right. But just people apparently wanted a little more than what we got as a response, I guess, to what had just happened.
Yeah, and I get that, but at the same time, you go, well, it can't have, because you can't set up whatever it is that he's going to be, you know, that the two of them or the three of them are going to be doing pales in comparison to something like Thanos. When you consider not even just when Thanos came, but the stuff that happened before he even showed up. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Yeah. They're just like, hey, we need to get back our mom and the whole world is falling apart. Like, at that point, you'd be like, you know what? Let's just keep her stashed where she is.
No shit.
Because it's safer there. So, I mean, there's no way they could have balanced those things. Plus, they had to have a plausible reason as to why he wasn't involved. Because I read the same thing. And I was just like, I don't understand it. Like, it's okay to not have them involved. Like, it makes more sense for them not to be.
Yeah.
But
And then what little bit of it, and of course, I don't know. We're not going to spoil this one. I'm assuming
we can talk about it. It's fine.
Okay. I just think the whole after credits thing, which was sort of weird that they were back exploring the quantum space or whatever.
Quantum realm. Yeah.
After all this shit, he was finally free and got his daughter back and all these things, and he's like, no, I'm going back in there, fuck that.
No, but
it was great, I guess.
I think because if he wanted to, you know, because here's the thing, if they got those particles and they healed people, I could see them going, hey, this is going to help people out, so let's go ahead and get them.
Sure. I'm just I can see Pym and his and Hope and maybe even the mom wanting to go back.
Again. Oh, but I as see far what you're as saying. Yeah.
Ant-Man, I don't know. I think he's much like happier being at home with his daughter and doing his own thing and, you know, hanging out with Cap. He keeps name dropping Cap and shit like that, right? Like I can't see him wanting to. Oh, but whatever. But I loved what came of that. I thought that was great. You know, that he's just sort of floating out there. He's like, hey guys. Right.
And I mean, and I mean, you know, like Evangeline Lilly, she said she filmed her scenes for, you know, so she's in the next one. So the, you know, the question is kind of how do they, you know, kind of rectify that stuff. But, you know, I thought it was really good. I thought it was I'm a big fan of kind of the, like, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Doctor Strange movie. I'm a huge fan of Ant-Man. Like some of those kind of one-offs that are less successful, I think, as far as like the Marvel movies go, just because it's just a different feel to them. I feel like they take slightly more chances. They don't always hit, but they, you know, they're a little more. I don't know if creative is the right word, but I don't know. They just it's just a different type of feel to them. You know, it's not just like we have this big, you know, space MacGuffin that we got to get. You know, I mean, it's I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So I agree. I like the thing I like about Ant-Man is it they feel more.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's just an entertaining superhero movie that has its own story to it. And it doesn't have to play a part, even though he ended up being in Civil War. You know, Ant-Man doesn't necessarily. An integral part in the universe or whatever. Like it introduced the character story. You know, the first one's one of my favorite Marvel movies. This one I didn't watch as the first one. Mm-hmm. And I'm not entirely sure why. I had no idea. Like I can't say that, you know, one particular thing about the first one I thought was better than this one.
I think I don't know if it's maybe just has to do with not necessarily the novelty, but I don't know if that has something to do with it. But I don't know which one I like better. I'd have to watch them again. I mean, I remember when they first started talking about this, when they said that like Lewis Payne wasn't going to be in it, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, why would you not have him in it?
Right.
Because he's great. And then just like the whole like I loved when, you know, kind of how they did the whole thing again where he's telling his story and, you know, and everybody
gets
to do the, like I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, do you think they got to choose like the exaggerated like mouth movements or like all that stuff, or, you know, kind of how they got to do that? But I mean, I enjoyed it, if anything, just because it, you know, it just kind of, I liked him and Hope together. Like I liked the way that they worked, played off of each other.
They were very good.
I liked that she was far more aggressive and more talented. Like it's nice to have a team where, you know, there's clearly one, because I mean that's the thing, like all the Avengers, everybody, like people joke and, oh, you know, this guy's more serious, more funny, but everybody's still like on the same talent level. Like the thing about Ant-Man that's funny to me, even though he clearly, like, he is talented, it's that he is so far less talented than everybody else who is around him. And so when they pair him up with Hope and she's a badass and he's just kind of like, you know, I'm not sure. Like I'll get big and see what happens.
Right. Like, that's why I love that they went with Scott Lang Ant-Man instead of trying to do Hank Pym. And cause God damn, man, the baggage that comes with that character, which they wouldn't have to do in a movie, but at least, you know, to me, the smart move was to go with Scott Lang, the Kirkman wrote, and he was a fuck up S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who stole an Ant-Man suit.
Right. Yeah. And I think that makes him a lot more relatable too, because everybody else, like, they signed up for this shit. Like there is no one in any of the Marvel movies who didn't say, yep, I'm in, this is, I'm good, let's do
right.
it. You know, so to have this guy where he's like, I just stole a suit, I'm not part of it, you know? And then they're like, well, you are now, you know, I think that, that helps. Like one of the things, if I can go on a small tangent, one of the things I think that was very important about you're going to laugh about the Fast and Furious movies and why it was such a big deal when Paul Walker died, is that Paul Walker's character in the Fast and Furious movies was the audience, for lack of a better word. He still did a bunch of cool things. He still got to drive a bunch of cool cars. But if you watch him in these movies and his reaction, he has a ton of, oh, shit, I can't believe that happened kind of moments in the movies. Like, Dom Toretto is, like, fucking super cool, and Michelle Rodriguez is super cool. You know, The Rock is super cool. They're all just like, yeah, I'm going to do all this badass shit. And Brian is just like, I don't know what is happening. This is crazy. You know, so, you know, he really provided this anchor for the audience to be like, that, I'd like to think I was Dom Toretto, but I'm going to be the guy driving the car going, I don't know what's going on. You know, like, and he really did provide that way for the audience to put themselves there and be like, okay, good. I'm not the only one looking at this stuff and going, what the fuck? Like, somebody else who's in it is also doing that way. And that's what I loved about his character, and was such a huge thing to lose when he died. And I think, you know, in a similar vein, that's what, you know, Scott Lang is. He's the guy who, when he meets Captain America, he's just like, he's fanboying out. He's not playing it cool. Yeah. He's just like, ha. I mean, that's how we all would be. Like, okay. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter how cool you are. Your father's a god. You meet this guy and you're going to be like, oh, you know? So I think that's what, you know, that's what helps, because even like Doctor Strange, he gets over it fairly quickly. They're like, here's this badass dimension. And he's like, all right, you know, cool. Yeah,
that's cool. Right. That's great.
Yeah. You know, like Scott Lang is the only person. I mean, you get hints of that sometimes, you know, with the other ones, like in Age of Ultron, when, you know, when Hawkeye is trying to talk Scarlet Witch out, and he's like, I'm a guy with a bow and arrows. Like, he kind of recognizes the ridiculousness of it. You know, you get that sometimes with Natasha, where she's just like, you know, she knows kind of where she is powers wise, her place. But Scott's the only person who's like an actual, like, human being. He fucks up. He doesn't make good choices. Yep. He doesn't even really know how to make the right choices, because who would even know how to do that stuff?
Right.
But he tries. And I think that's what kind of makes him so, like, likable, and you know, you want him to succeed, because you're like, yeah, that'd be me. That would totally be me.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they tie it into to the next movie, because, you know, Janet did say, oh, well, you'll get caught in a time vortex, and, you know, and then, you know, kind of had the whole thing with the time gem in Infinity War. So clearly, you know, time is going to have to play a part in some way, shape.
Oh, for sure. But, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's funny, my son and I we got in an argument on the way out of the movie theater. We were talking about, he's like, you know, wasn't Hank Pym in the original Avengers? I was like, yeah. And I honestly couldn't remember. I was like, I don't know if he was like Ant-Man or Giant Man. I remember, like, he changed or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
and I said, but yeah, I was like, him, you know, Wasp, you know, Iron Man, Hulk, Thor. He's like, Hulk wasn't in the Avengers. I was like, yes, he was. He's like, no, he wasn't in the Avengers. I was like, yeah, he was. He goes, I watched a YouTube video and he wasn't in the Avengers. I said, Janet had a conversation with Hulk about the name The Avengers. And he's like, well, I watched a YouTube video. And I said, there's a difference. I said, that's the difference between somebody who watches YouTube videos about comics and someone who actually reads them. And my wife goes, enough. And I'm like, oh, no. Motherfucker, go a step to me? To me? I was like, I remember, because that was weird, because I was like, wow, Hulk is very verbose. Yeah, because, you know,
Right?
He would kind of flip back and forth. They do that weird, almost like Shakespearean thing with him, like, m'lady! Like, that was fascist. You know? And I was, it's funny, because I was talking to my wife about it later, and I am, like, 100% against any sort of, like, kind of fandom, like, gating, right? Like, I don't care. I don't care how you get to comics, however you get there. If you like superheroes because you watch Marvel movies and that's the only thing you watch, or you watch Arrow or Cloak and Dagger or you watch Walking Dead, I don't care. If you like comic-related properties, I don't care how you get to them. If you get to them and you're happy with what you got, I'm not the type of person who's going to be like, oh, you like Iron Man? You should read 900 issues of Iron Man. Like, I'm just not that guy because I understand not everybody wants to do that, right? Especially, like, I think of my wife. Like, she loves the Marvel movies. She's not going to read this shit. She doesn't give a shit, right?
Right.
But it pisses me off about my son that he'll watch these YouTube videos about comics and then start like fucking popping off at the mouth about comics. And I thought to myself, I was like, well, why does that bother you? If he cares about superheroes, what does it matter to you? And I finally realized what it is. He talks about comics like he read them, but he is only parroting back other people's experiences with them that he then watches on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that I have a problem with.
It's the same thing, man.
I love comics. I would not consider myself a hardcore comic fan compared to you. I don't know shit compared to a lot of people I know that are into comics. I don't know shit. I'm a casual comic book fan, but I can point to so many different comics in my life that I'm like, yes, I remember that. That helped me out. I remember thinking that. I remember picking up sticks and tapping them on the ground because I was going to be Thor. I was going to find that motherfucking hammer. and to be like, to have that be such an important part of me, and then to be like, you don't want to read them. You want to watch a video and have somebody else tell you about them. And then kind of pass it off like, well, oh yeah, Infinity, this armor mark this or armor mark that. No, I just, oh God, I just, it bugs me.
No, it does. Me too, man. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Which I'm quitting the store, by the way. I have one more weekend that I'm working. But that's a story not for the podcast. But we'll talk. But but yeah, and I probably have mentioned this before on the show since we talk comics fairly frequently because you know of course we do. But it is the same thing, and I could spot them as soon as the fucking Mercedes rolls up out. The Mercedes SUV pulls up outside. And this fucking 16-year-old kid gets out with a Bazinga t-shirt on, and he's got some little, you know, long blonde hair, 85 pounds, soaking wet, you know, big blue-eyed, you know, girlies with, and he wants to come to the comic book store and look like a fucking hero. Yeah. So he's walking, and I listen to him, and I just sit there and shake my head and laugh. Because he'll point to a poster on the wall and be like, oh, well, that's so-and-so, and this is what they did. And they're either wrong, or it's the most base generic information that you could possibly know about the character. And then they never speak to me at all. And they never buy anything. They do a lap around the store. They pick up something and look like they're mildly interested in it. And then they put it down and then they leave. It's the same thing.
We went to the library this past week. And I haven't been to the library in a while. My library actually has a really good selection of comics. And my son, I try to get him to read comics. Like, I think to myself, if I grew up with me as a dad, holy shit, that would be the most fucking amazing thing ever. Like, I remember having to, like, go stand, like, in, like, try to hide myself from the clerk at the drugstore so I could read the comics on the spinner rack. And I didn't give a fuck what order they were in. I was going to fucking read them. I didn't give a shit. And, like, the money that I had to save up to buy comics, he could walk into my office and have, I mean, mind blown. You like the Avengers? Check the Ultimates. You want to see the Hulk eat a man? Here you go. You want to read Walking Dead? Hellboy? I got fucking you. Like, granted, again, it's nothing compared to what you got, but I got tons of shit. You can read it, pick it up, take it in your room, read it.
Sure.
He doesn't care. He's like, comics are hard to read. I can't tell what order things go in. And I'm like, oh my God. But okay, whatever. I'm not gonna push it.
Right.
I gave him a giant stack of Spider-Man. Ultimate Spider-Man books when he was a kid, and he could give a shit. But I was like, okay, cool.
Right.
So I go to the library, and I haven't been kind of catching up on things. I buy stuff, a lot of stuff, when they're on sale, and the DC stuff really hadn't gone on sale in a while. The Marvel stuff had, but the DC stuff hadn't. And they had, you know, first five Batmans of Rebirth, first two Green Arrows, first two Supermans, you know, Nightwing, my favorite thing is Monsters, which is fucking amazing. Oh my God, is that book so good? all this stuff. And this huge stack of All-Star Batman. I'm trying to think what else did I get. The last two books of The Walking Dead, because I was like, why am I buying them? I don't remember anything, and I can't keep track who's in the show and who's in the book. So let me just, instead of buying them, I'll just put them up in the library. Huge, huge, huge stack of books. And my daughter's like, what? Like, the kids are looking at me, and they're like, wow, that is a lot of books. And I was like, yeah, I like comics. Like,
yeah.
I was reading, I had heard, like, how, and this is the thing that kills me. Like, I had heard how good Tom King was, because I'd read The Vision. Mm-hmm. I think The Vision is one of my favorite books of all time. And I'm reading this shit, and I'm just, like, blown away. Like, Scott Snyder, to me, is, like, an amazing writer. I loved the work that he did on Batman. I love Court of Owls. I like Death in the Family. Like, his whole run, I thought, was fantastic. This shit's on another level.
Yep.
I mean, it is fucking amazing. And it kills me that I can't give it to my son and be like, this, you will, I guarantee you have not seen Batman this way before. Like, love it or hate it, you have not seen him this way. This is going to fundamentally change your view of who Batman is, what Batman's about. And I mean, I've just been, I mean, I'm blown away. I am like, like that, the issue with him and Clark and Lois and Selina.
Yes.
At the fair. Oh my God. Oh my. Yeah. I was like, every panel, I was like, I wish I could, like that, you want to talk about, I always say, like, man, I wish I could pull memories out of my head so I could replay games. I wish I could pull a memory out of my head so I could read that comic again for the first time.
It's a run. I've said this. I said this to him on Twitter. It's a run. Now, I do feel like I will say it started off and I wasn't quite sure because I didn't know Gotham and Gotham Girl or whatever, that whole thing.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a little, I don't know about that. But everything past those first, what, five issues or so, whatever they were, has been
riddles. Yeah.
Oh God, everything's been fucking phenomenal. And I said it to you, and I've said it plenty of times. This run will be talked about for years. This is the new Englehart, Rogers. This is the new, like, this is this generation's run, that these books are going to be, they're as cheap as they're ever going to be. Going to be this soft, especially considering that print runs are low. You know, these are the books that are going to be the new Silver Age books of today, right? Like the ones that are sought after and so expensive. And everybody's like, oh, a comic book's going to put my kid through college. Well, from Silver Age future generations, these are the books that are going to be those books.
Yeah.
And it, cause
there was a line, there is a line, and it never occurred to me to put it this way. I don't remember which issue it is, but he's talking to somebody, and I forget, a Gotham girl, about, like, why do you do it? And he said, I'm Batman because I'm Batman. And it just, like, talk about perfect distillation of why he does what he does. Yep. Like, it had never occurred to me to put it exactly that way in those words. I mean, and I just was like, and I've been reading Batman forever.
Yeah.
Like, I remember finding, like, a copy of Dark Knight Returns in a toy shop. They had a discount bin. I bought Dark Knight Returns and Frank Miller's Ronin.
Nice.
And I only had number 1 and 3 of Ronin. I didn't get number 2 for years because I didn't know where to get it. I found it was a toy store, and he had this bin, this wire rack of, like, a bin, like, you would just throw random clearance shit in.
Yeah.
And both of these books, I remember reading Dark Knight Returns and being like, oh my God, what is, like, this is Batman? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Right.
And it has never occurred to me to put it that way before. And I'm just like, so every night I've gone up and I've read it and I've just been so happy. Like, so happy.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I just started the first all-star Batman trade where him and Two-Face are kind of on or whatnot. So
yeah, Snyder and John Romita Jr.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
But, and I haven't gotten into stuff yet.
Cool. But it's a fun thing when and it's been this way the whole time. I've been reading comics for, God, I'm 40. So I've been reading comics for 30 years or so.
Right. Yeah.
And it's always such a fun thing when one of the flagship characters is the best book that's currently coming out. Because there are many times over the years that Superman's been garbage. Batman, unfortunately, has been trash.
Yeah.
And but they know they're going to sell, so they don't really care, right? And if something interesting is going to happen, it's in a mini series. And so for it to be the main, right?
Yeah.
So for something a really really good stories to be coming out of the core books is always so fun, and it's not just DC. Like Marvel, Spider-Man's like best Marvel comic. That's fucking amazing. You know, when it's trash, it's like, well, people still buy it, so whatever.
Right.
But it's just such a fun thing when the core books are like the best books.
Yeah, because I mean, I remember for a while there was like I really gravitated towards a lot of the Elseworlds or the What Ifs because I was like, that seemed to be like where the creativity is right now.
Is exactly.
Telling these stories and putting them in different situations, and they didn't always hit, but at least it was different.
Right.
You didn't feel like you needed, or something like The Long Halloween, or, you know, Batman Year One, where you're like, you're kind of retelling
things. Right.
You didn't feel like you know, because sometimes it just felt like, man, it was so difficult just to kind of get in and you're like, you know, just kind of know what was going on. And I mean, yeah, this, I mean, I really enjoyed the Snyder run, and I read all of them, and I thought, okay, well, this really is kind of the best. Like, I don't really know. Because, I mean, I kind of followed Rebirth, but, you know, anytime they do these big kind of seismic things, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's kind of hard not to. But, you know, when I got these, and, I mean, even just, like, the very first book I started reading in, I was like, this is a what? Like, this is great.
Yeah.
So I haven't – I think they only had the first five trades. Which ends with, you know, like there's one issue with, kind of talking about when him and Selena first met. She kept coming to the Wayne Manor.
Oh yeah,
and kind of like,
oh, that was an annual. That was so fucking good.
Yeah,
that good one. So good. Yep, I remember that.
So I mean, I'm behind. I think that was like, I don't know, 37 or 38 or something. I'm nowhere near 50 or 51 or something like that. But I've kind of
You're not that far behind because, you know, it's twice a month now. So you're really not that far behind.
Okay. So, but I don't know when the next trade is or whatnot. So
right, but it should be soon. There's a Poison Ivy story, and then after that you get into the wedding stuff. So you're right there.
Okay, and then today, like, they had a sale on a bunch of stuff prior to SDCC for Marvel, so I bought, like, more. Like, I love the Jane Foster Thor run, so I filled out some holes there. I filled out some Patsy Walker stuff. I filled out some Squirrel Girl, some – I bought Crosswinds, the first edition. I bought Moon Knight, because what happened is there had been a sale before. And it was, but everything was like number three or number four was on sale. And I was like, look, I see what you're doing. That's kind of shitty, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy these now and just wait a few
just
months.
Just wait it out.
And the earlier ones will come on sale because I had bought like Invincible Iron Man 2, Mighty Thor 4. And sure enough, I looked and today they're all like $2, $3 on the Kindle. Yeah. So I bought those. And I even bought like Black Panther Volume 1, which I already have in some other format, but I hated in Comixology not having it there. So I was like, $3, it's done.
Nice.
Because I love that run. I love that Coates run of Black Panther.
Yeah, I didn't read that, but I read how good it was. So I signed up for the new Cap series because he's writing that now. So
yeah. So I did. I don't think I have all the Sam Wilson Captain America books, but they weren't on sale, so I didn't. So I have tons. I mean, I have all the old Black Panthers. I have all those that I haven't gotten through yet. I'm so behind on everything, but I just like having them, and then I just kind of catch up when I catch up. You know, I used to do the every week thing, and it just gets to be too much for me to keep up on. So I kind of like doing it this way. Yeah, well, there you go. So that's probably it for us. That's been quite a bunch.
Yeah. We have some catching up to do.
Yeah, we did. We did. It was good talking to you, man. It's been a while.
Absolutely.
I'm not comfortable being that away from you for that long.
I know.
To say that.
I couldn't fucking wait for it. I've been looking forward to this for almost a month.
My wife, she's always like, "Will you stop texting him?" And I'm like, "No." No, I will not.
I know. I can't even tell you how many texts I've written and then just deleted it and be like, I'm not gonna bother him right now.
Oh, please. Jesus Christ, yeah. No bother at all. All right. So what do we say? 51?
This is 51, yep.
Yeah, so that's been episode 51. Thank you everybody for hanging out. We appreciate it as always. The next couple weeks, honestly, I have no idea. I'll see the next Mission Impossible probably.
Oh, is that well, then I don't know. I always watch those in Blu-ray.
It's not this weekend, it's next weekend.
Okay.
I need to see Henry Cavill reload his arms.
True.
Which I can't not see now every time I see that trailer.
Right. Yeah, actually, I'm excited. I forgot. That's right. I'm excited for this one. Usually, I wait for the Blu-ray on Mission Impossible, but this one I want to see. Yeah, I got to see that stash, man. That the world's most important mustache. If for nothing else, I got to see
exactly. It. That's a mustache that broke 1,000 ships, right?
Right.
But yeah, beyond that, we'll figure something out. So for myself and Mitch, thank you so much for hanging out. We appreciate it as always. Hopefully you'll be with us in the next couple weeks. So thank you again. Good night and have a good evening.